live from the Nashville Sports Radio Studios. This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show. Call Johnny now at 844-5600 and online at WNSR.com. And now, here's Johnny.
And welcome to hour number two, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you, Zach Williams, making sure everything runs great. Coming up around 5:40 or so, Jim McBride, the New England Patriots beat writer for the Boston Globe, talking Tom Brady, legacy, Patriots, and more. But right now, opportunity to visit with John Glennon with BroadwaySportsMedia.com, Preds and Titans chat with John. First of all, welcome back to the show, John, and Did you feel like you would be in this position this week talking about a season that's been completed as far as the Titans, or were you thinking that the divisional round was still looming for the Titans?
Honestly, it doesn't shock me that we're talking season end at this point. I think it probably could have gone either way last week, but you know, I don't think this Titans team across the board was as good as the 2019 team, you know, that went to the AFC Championship. It just didn't have enough, balance, I didn't feel like. That combined with the fact that it's difficult to beat a good team like the Ravens three times in a calendar year. You know, sometimes the breaks are going to go the other team's way. Sometimes their adjustments are going to be better than yours eventually. It doesn't shock me. I think the Titans clearly need to fill some deficiencies here going forward.
One of the things, when you look back to Sunday, what surprised you most, especially in the second half with the way the Titans played? And you could take that one step further and the decisions made by the coaching staff.
That would be an easy one. Yeah, I'm scratching my head over the 4th-and-2 decision to punt, you know, at Baltimore's 40-yard line. I just completely disagreed with that. Mike Vrabel, made his case that he was looking for field position there, and still there was plenty of time left in the fourth quarter. But, you know, my argument was, you know, you need just those 2 yards. You've got one of the better offenses in the game, even though it hadn't been playing well in that contest. And I'd rather rely, in the big picture, I'd rather rely on that offense than I would the defense. And even if you fail in that situation, the only real downside, okay, Baltimore's got the ball at its own 40, but even if you hold them to a field goal, you're still only down by a touchdown. And there's more time left than if they had to go down the whole field and get a field goal, which is what
absolutely
they did. So I was in certainly the disagreement on that one. As far as surprises in the game itself, you know, I guess really both sides of the line, you know, the fact that Derrick Henry could not get going at all, we kept waiting and waiting, and it just never happened. And on the other side, the fact that the defense held up pretty well. Everybody was kind of wondering, you know, how many points are the Titans going to need to win this game? Well, I guess you could say it turns out they only would have needed 21, you know, which was a little bit of a surprise.
You know, we often hear, whether it's college football, NFL, we always talk about, you know, forget the last play. You know, the quarterback, the star quarterback, the reason he's a star quarterback is because if the last play threw an interception, bam, that's ancient history. I bring it up because I'd like to get your assessment, because I threw this question out to Teresa Walker with the Associated Press as well. The week prior, as far as in that last regular season game against Houston, going for it for 4th-and-11, getting all the backlash, is like, what were you thinking in that situation? I wonder how much of a carryover effect it had 1 week later with that 4th-and-2 call there in the fourth quarter.
I would not rule that out, because it's interesting to me, even if you go back a week before that, remember he punted on the 4th-and-7 on Green Bay's 32, I think it was, and faced a lot of backlash from that. So then you go into the Houston game, it's 4th-and-11, you know, maybe there's a touch of that backlash, you know, in the back of his mind as well. I'm going to go for this one, you know, there's no doubt about it. Well, that doesn't work out. People are saying, what do you do? What are you doing going on 4th-and-11? you know, and then he has a chance on fourth and two, and he says, well, I'm gonna take it cautious this time. And, you know, does Mike Vrabel sit around and you know, think about what we're all saying during the week? No, you know, he certainly is a home man and knows much more about the game than we do. But nonetheless, you know, if you hear that the question raised enough, you know, whether you're interviewing with the media or you're reading clips or whatever, it's got to be in the back of your mind just a little bit, I think.
How big of a mistake was it when you think about off-season moves, the off-season move that was not made with Mike Vrabel hiring a defensive coordinator?
Yeah, what a just an odd situation, you know. We kept waiting for clarity on that front. We kept waiting for him to say, you know, I am the guy, or Shane Bowen is the guy, and really it was, you know, for so long they tried to mask everything, and, you know, it was going to be kind of a combination, or, you know, Shane is going to do it, but, you know, he's still going to be the outside linebackers coach. And, you know, in the end, something was certainly lost, you know, and you're going to lose something anyway when you go from Dean Pease to almost anybody. But, you know, the amount of times this year that we heard Titans players talk about communication not being good enough,
right?
You know, I think that comes down, you know, it comes down from the top. And I think Shane Bowen is probably a pretty good coach, but there was something that was just not connecting, something that was just not clicking there. And in the end, I think you needed another piece, you know, and I think that was, I think the Titans will end up changing that for the coming season. My suspicion, my guess is that they will get a defensive coordinator from probably outside the building.
Well, look, I know it's not as important for us to understand what's going on as far as the communications and who's in charge of the defense, but look, just based on the words that have come out of the mouths of the defensive players over the year and everything else, I understand we didn't know. I'm trying to figure out whether or not the players knew who was responsible, who was accountable, who should I listen to, especially if I'm getting mixed messages.
Yeah, I agree with you, you know, and you know, I think it goes to the players on the team as well. You know, last year you had some guys on that defense, guys like Casey and Logan Ryan, and, you know, Wesley Woodyard, you know, wasn't a starter generally, but certainly, you know, was still a contributor. Three guys that were really savvy, smart guys, you know, knew how to help getting teammates lined up, knew, you know, what was coming sometimes, just guys that really studied the game, you know, and I think when you got rid of all three of those guys as well, that hurt the communication process. That really, you know, I think that was maybe overlooked a little bit, not only the talent of guys like Casey and Logan Ryan, but the fact that they were kind of, you know, sort of linchpins and sort of gluing that defense together a little bit. So I think that was a factor in addition to the defensive coordinator. It all, you know, I think it all comes back to that communication that the players talked about so frequently.
I think Jarrell Casey, huge loss, what he meant as far as that glue for the defense. I really felt like the fact that the front not being able to get pressure enough on quarterbacks, I think it exposed the secondary, made the entire defense. Because if you can get pass rush, it makes everything look good. And I think that was a huge thing. And here's the thing, too, when we think about how to improve in the off season, you know, with a healthy Taylor Lewan, you know, here's an offense that, you know, is even as good as it was, is going to be even better for 2021. The big question would be, right now, if I told you could have either Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith, but not both, which one would you want?
It's an interesting question. You know, I think at the beginning of this season, I certainly would have said, well, it's going to be Jonnu. You know, this guy is ready for a breakout season, you know, kind of uber-talented. You know, we got to keep him, and Corey was coming off, you know, a subpar year. Now, you know, I might, at this particular moment anyway, might lean differently. Corey Davis coming off a good year, you know, outside of the slide there at the end. You know, certainly an excellent compliment to A.J. Brown. You talk about two receivers, you know, who are both around 1,000 yards. You don't often see that. And you look at the tight end position, you know, Anthony Firkser, had similar stats in a lot of, you know, not the touchdowns, obviously, but in a lot of ways he had some similar stats to Johnny Smith, and he played about half the snaps that Johnny Smith did. Now, again, it's a different role. He wasn't asked to do much in the way of blocking. But, you know, Johnny Smith, I don't think has ever been considered an outstanding blocker. You know, maybe a solid blocker. But, you know, right now, I think maybe, you know, Johnny's more easily replaced than Corey Davis. But, you know, it's all going to come down to money terms as well.
And that's one of the things, too. It's not like the Titans are loaded as far as the salary cap is concerned, especially when you think about the Indianapolis Colts, who have about, what, 8 to 9 times the amount of money as far as the salary cap. What, either number two, I think, as far as the most money to spend?
That's right.
I mean, to me, this is a chance for, you know, just forget about whether you're a fan of the Titans or Colts. Give me the choice of having which team right now. First of all, you got to make sure you have an established quarterback, because I don't know if Phillip Rivers is coming back yet or not. In fact, he's kind of like pondering his future as we speak right now, according to some of the words that have come out this week. But I feel kind of certain that he'll be back at least one more year. But with that said, I mean, when you've got that much money, there's no reason why the Colts shouldn't all of a sudden take control of this division right now and run away with it for the next 3 years.
I think what the Colts have is they're probably the best team in the division on both sides of the line of scrimmage, too, you know, and that's where the Titans were imbalanced this year. They were solid on offense and a good offensive line, but they were not good enough on the defensive line and in defense in general. And, you know, what's intriguing, too, I think, when you look at the division, you know, all of a sudden you have to keep an eye open for old Jacksonville there. You know, it looks as if they're going to hire Urban Meyer, and it looks like, you know, Trevor Lawrence will be his quarterback. They've got a ton of cap.
Jacksonville's got number one, by the way, with the salary cap. They got tons
exactly.
of money to spend.
Yeah, yeah. Now, and you know, you do have some decent young players, you know, at a number of positions on that team too. It's not as quite bereft of talent as you might think. So, you know, if not immediately, you know, certainly I think they'll be on the rise here shortly, too.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. You know, look, we all often look at sometimes these windows and how long they're open, and there's some teams it just seems like it never closes. Where are we when we look at the Titans window, how would you gauge it right now? Because to me, because of the glaring issues with the defense, I mean, is it, to me, you want, okay, what's enough? What will satisfy you? Winning, you know, getting to the playoffs? If you win a game, great. Or do you really want a team built to win a Super Bowl? And that's been always that question where I don't know how important winning a Super Bowl is. Yeah, you would like to win a Super Bowl. But if you're, you know, we went so long as far as Titans fans were concerned being able just to host a playoff game that it was almost like, well, at least we hosted a playoff game.
yeah, you know, I mean, there was a little bit of sense of that, but you know what I do like too now when you look at the Titans is, you know, I think the bar has been raised a little bit, certainly, you know, since John Robinson came along, you know, 5 straight winning seasons, you know, and they got out of the 9-7 rut this year, you know, so I think, you know, those years of you know, wandering in the desert and never knowing when you might have another winning record,
right.
I think are in the past. And you know, so I think the expectations are a little higher. But, yeah, the window, you know, I think certainly the offense, you know, when you look at kind of the keys, you know, Tannehill, Henry, certainly A.J. Brown is a youngster, Taylor Lewan, you know, not a youngster anymore. But there's at least a couple more years, I think, that you could consider it an open window for the offense. Your stars can still be considered in their prime, you know, for at least another year or two. Yeah, the question is can you load up this defense, you know, significantly enough? And again, as we've said this year and before, doesn't have to be a great defense, you know, if it's a so-so defense and brings back a lot of these same offensive parts, you know, you're in pretty good shape. Teams are winning these days by scoring a ton of points and by doing okay defensively. As long as you can, in general, if you can have a pass rush, if you can create some turnovers potentially, and come up with a couple of, you know, two, three, four key stops a game, you know, you can win with a defense that's not great.
Well, remember 2 years ago, the whole thing was, you can't use the word good in the off season. You're having a great day. Like, John, what kind of day are you having? I'm having a great day, right? So, and last year, making the run to the AFC Championship game before losing to the eventual Super Bowl champs, great season. Yeah, you win the division for the first time since 2008, but do we look at this team as do we look at what they accomplished here this year as a great season? See, I don't think so. And here's the thing. It's that fine line. If you accept that, then you're accepting, you know, not living up to your own expectations.
Yeah, no, I don't think it can be certainly considered a great season. And, you know, but on the other hand, I don't think you can just sweep away the first 11-win season in a dozen years, the first division championship, the first home playoff game in a dozen years. You can't just, you know, knock those off the board and say, oh, we didn't do anything in the playoffs. You know, those are accomplishments, relatively speaking, for a franchise that has really struggled, until the last few years. So, understand that there were some accomplishments made, but, no, this team was just too flawed defensively, I'll go right back to what I said. You know, when your offense is averaging 30 points a game, you don't need to be great, but for the better part of the season, and oddly enough, the offensive and defensive roles were reversed in the playoffs, but for the better part of the year, you know, the defense just was not doing enough to where all the pressure came down on the shoulders of the offense, and they had to score 30 points a game or the team was not going to win.
Whose fault was it the team wasn't making adjustments during the game? I mean, look, Brandon Williams, along with Calais Campbell, they were not there back in the regular season in November when the Ravens took on the Titans. Huge difference there as far as what we saw on Sunday. Whose offense was this on Sunday? Who was making the real decisions on being conservative, not going for fourth down? I mean, yes, it certainly falls in the lap of the head coach because it's ultimately his decision, but was his fingerprints all over the offense, especially in the second half on Sunday?
Well, I think certainly when you talk about those calls, like the fourth down call, things like that, those fall in the lap of the head coach. But generally in offense, I think the game plan, you know, is set in place. You know, the offensive coordinator and the head coach develop it during the week. And, you know, I can see it in two ways. You know, if you look at what Arthur Smith was thinking, you know, he says basically, for the most part, in every game this year, if we've run Derrick Henry enough, if we've hit him hard enough, things start to break. You know, it may not happen in the first or the second quarter, but generally in the third and the fourth, things start to open up. He gets some chunks. You know, we start scoring more points. And it just never did this game. And you would have liked to have seen, you know, and maybe retrospect, Arthur Smith is thinking the same thing, you know, somewhere in that third quarter or you know, early in the fourth, okay, we got to get away from this a little bit. You know, they're jamming the line. As you mentioned,
right,
they have Campbell back and then Brandon Williams, and it's just not happening. So eventually you've got to, you know, start using the pass to maybe open up some lanes to run in. And, it just didn't happen with the Titans. And it's a little bit of a puzzle on that one. I think the word stubborn has been used at times there, and I think that's fair. What he's looking at is track record. Okay, we've done this every game, and eventually things start to break. Wasn't breaking against the Ravens.
All right, tonight the Preds start their season. What are your expectations early on as far as to put the bad taste of how last year wrapped up in August?
Yeah, well, to their credit, you know, they made a decent change, a decent amount of change in this roster, despite the fact they're, you know, some of the big money guys really can't be moved. But I do see some new faces in there. You look at a second line with, you know, probably tonight we'll have two out of the three guys are new, and Eric Halla and Luke Kunin. I like to see that. Nick Cousins, a guy on the third line, is new from last year. I think the key, of course, will be this first line. They've got to pick it up. Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson. all of them have to pick up what they did last year. Is that possible? I think so. They've all showed it previously in their career. And then I think in general, I just want to see a different personality from this team. I didn't think they had much of an identity or personality at all last year. There was nothing in particular you could say that they did great or that really stood out. So give me a little bit more of that old school Predators identity this year. That's one of the things I'll be looking at early on.
I was talking about this with Pete Weber yesterday, the voice of the Preds. Is Brad Richardson that wild card, that he could be that extra piece that's missing on the ice and in the locker room as far as, you know, being that extra part that gels this team?
I think, you know, certainly, you know, they're not expecting a ton of offensive support now. You know, Brad Richardson, he's a little bit long in the tooth, but yeah,
35 you know, years of age.
That's right. Long in the tooth for a hockey player, anyway. But he's a guy that you know that's done a lot in the playoffs over the years. He's been a captain in the past. You know, he's won a Stanley Cup. I think this is a team that needed a little bit of a drive, an engine, a leader, player. So I think there's certainly the possibility, given his track record, that he could be a leader. And as I say, some of the other guys too. You know, don't have necessarily the playoff resume that Brad Richardson does, but you know they can also help in kind of shaping that personality and being a little bit of a tougher team to play against. As I say, giving themselves a little bit more of an identity than last year.
Well, I think it's important too to get off to the strong start over the first month, and I look at players like a Philip Forsberg. You know, come out hot in the beginning. And just really show everybody exactly, you know, the flashes that we've seen out of him, but get it from the start. I think that's the most important thing for this team, especially if you want to talk about a team taking the ice with a little swagger to it.
Yeah, absolutely. And now they've got John Hines has had some time to work with this team. You know, he was obviously thrown in the middle of last season. And never really got much of a training camp. He didn't get a full training camp this go round either, unfortunately for him. But you know, it's enough time now where you can say that the coach is in place. He's implemented his scheme. You know, now is it working? Are those players getting better? We remember when Peter Laviolette first came in. You know, everybody took a big step forward. You know, he had that motivational effect and. Players were doing far more than they had in the past. I think we need to see some progress soon from players that have been coached by John Hines too. You need to have that impact and make guys better, especially your best players, because the top three, Forsberg, Johansson, and Arvidsson, have not been at their best in the last year or so.
Also, with the compact season with so many games during the course of the week, so important for teams to have really two solid goalies, which creates the opportunity there for Pekka to have a rebound kind of thing where people aren't questioning him, and outstanding play again, continued improvement for Saros as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think the door is certainly open for UC Saros to become the dominant number one. You know, and we saw some of that towards the end of last season, and of course he started all the playoff games. I thought he was, you know, good, maybe not great. You know, I think the Preds would like to see a little bit more. I think Pekka-Rinne, started to come back a little bit towards the end of last season, back to, you know, more of the guy that we knew. Now, is he going to be his Vezina style of years ago? Certainly not, but you know, he can certainly be a great support and a great guy to play. As you say, this is a very compact schedule, and you just can't get by with a dominant number one. You're going to have to play two goalies in terms of rest and so forth. So we'll see what the little Finn and the big Finn can do starting tonight.
BroadwaySportsMedia.com is the site. What can the listeners expect when they go there?
We got all kinds of coverage, especially the Titans. We've probably got the most coverage of any website, certainly covering the Titans. You know, probably 10, 12 writers, all kinds of good analysis, podcasts, you name it there. And we're also doing plenty of Preds coverage and coverage of the Nashville SC soccer team as well.
Hey, we appreciate you, John. Welcome back, as always. Happy New Year to you, and look forward to talking to you often this year.
Okay, thank you, Johnny. Same to you.
Thank you, buddy. That's John Glennon. BroadwaySportsMedia.com is the site. This segment brought to you by friends with Strike and Spare Family Entertainment. Five wonderful locations to serve you here in the Middle Tennessee area, where you're going to get bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And no matter what your favorite team is, you can keep up with them on the TVs located throughout. We're talking about in Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. And don't forget the two enhanced experiences, Hendersonville at Circus World, and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in the Stones River Mall. And with these enhanced experiences, we're talking about everything from laser maze to roller skating, laser tag to bumper cars, Time Freak, and even a virtual reality roller coaster. For more information, you can go online at strikeandspare.com. All locations open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Well, good evening. Traffic still heavy on 24 as you head back out towards Rutherford County. It's been active out here as far as wrecks. 5700 block OHB over in Hermitage, 7900 Highway 100 out on the west side. Still trying to mop up that crash at the intersection of Church and 17. Heavy traffic continues I-40 out through Mount Juliet. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hey guys, it's Zach from Millennial Sports Mornings here to talk to you about Hayes Nissan of Rivergate. They have been serving the Nashville area for more than 28 years with a long-standing tradition of providing outstanding customer service to anyone who steps on their lot. Whether you're looking to buy, lease, or service your vehicle, you can be sure that their team will dedicate themselves to your individual needs. They also offer much more than just legendary customer service. They will help you find the vehicle that fits your lifestyle, personality, and most importantly, your budget. If you like what you hear, then simply call to schedule an appointment at 615-865-7220. Again, that's 615-865-7220. Or you can just stop by at 1550 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. And check them out on the web at NissanOfRivergate.com. And look, you can trust me. Not only am I a spokesperson, but I'm a customer. That's Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
When you're Middle Tennessee's community bank, you have a greater responsibility than just offering a menu of smart financial services. You make it your mission to know your neighbors and meet their needs, and you invest in the people around you, from the new family to the small business. At Wilson Bank and Trust, we're proud to be the kind of institution that's always working to make our great community even greater. Thank you for supporting us in our efforts to serve, give, and grow. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Message and data rates may apply.
Come on, one more rep. You got this.
10.
There it is. Nice work, man. You're a beast.
Thanks, man. I feel better than I have in years. And I got to tell you, taking Nugenix makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas. The big hurt, right?
Oh, yeah. This is a legit product. The key ingredient is Testofen, which helps boost free testosterone levels and increase lean muscle mass.
Well, it's clearly working for you. Hey, are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try for themselves?
Yeah, Nugenix is a great way to increase lean muscle and feel stronger with more energy and endurance.
Man, I need to get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix.
No problem. You just got to send them a text. Text STREAK to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Nugenix samples are not available in stores, so text STREAK to 321-321 right now. Text STREAK to 321-321. That's STREAK to 321-321.
Tri-State Forecast.
Your exclusive national sports radio WNSR Sky Scan Forecast. For this afternoon, we'll have clouds and maybe a shower, the high temperature 44. Cloudy tonight, rain shower early, rain or snow shower late, the low 32. Clouds and a stray sprinkle or flurry for Friday, high 42. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Call the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show now. 615-844-5600.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks, with you along with Zach Williams. 615-844-5600. Still coming up this hour, Jim McBride with the Boston Globe. Back to the phone lines we go. Clay in Nashville, welcome.
Johnny, how are you today?
I'm awesome today. How about you? Happy Thursday.
Same to you. Wanted to talk a little about playoff games coming up this weekend. You know, looking at it on paper, you would think that Baltimore-Buffalo game shapes up to be a heck of a game, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the weather's going to be some snow showers, low 30s, nothing too major as far as the weather. And look, I think that Baltimore now, Lamar Jackson especially, getting the chip off the shoulder, finally getting a playoff win. Look for Baltimore. I just think they're getting ready to go on the complete roll. I think they will represent the AFC in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I've kind of thought about that myself. You know, they're a hot team, what they've won 6 or 7 in a row. And if their defense continues to play, you know, the way they did last week, then they are going to be a tough out.
Absolutely.
You think Baltimore would represent the AFC, and I've been thinking possibly, you know, the two number one seeds could make it. Doesn't happen often, but I do think the Packers will make it from the NFC, don't you?
You know, it sounds like the logical choice, and, you know, you would think that, and we've joked about this, it could be the State Farm Super Bowl if Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City and you get Aaron Rodgers with Green Bay, but I don't think either one makes it. I'm saying Baltimore taking on the New Orleans Saints. Saints got a top 5 defense, top 5 offense. I think they're the complete team, and that's why I'm going with Saints-Baltimore in the Super Bowl.
Are you going with Baltimore, Kansas City in the AFC Championship game?
Yes, but I do believe that it'll be a lot closer than double digits. Right now, the Chiefs 10-point favorite. I think it'll be a single score game.
Yeah, Browns. That would be that would be kind of a cool story, I guess, for a team hadn't made the playoffs in, I guess, what, 18 years.
Well, plus Cleveland has never made a Super Bowl either, so that would be, you know, for Cleveland, they've been waiting and waiting and waiting now 50-plus years, and they have yet to make it to a Super Bowl.
You've got to hand it to their fans, though, Johnny. You know, as much losing as they've done over the, you know, most recent years, their fans still show up.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree with you on that.
Have a great day.
Hey, appreciate your phone call. One of the games, of course, the last game on Sunday, the two 40-year-olds going at it, Drew Brees with the Saints, Tom Brady with the Tampa Bay Bucks, somebody who covered Tom Brady. All of those playoff appearances there with the New England Patriots. Jim McBride with the Boston Globe. He's coming up on the other side. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good evening. Traffic still heavy on 24 as you head back out towards Rutherford County. It's been active out here as far as wrecks, 5700 block OHB over in Hermitage, 7900 Highway 100 out on the west side. Still trying to mop up that crash at the intersection of Church and 17. Heavy traffic continues I-40 out through Mount Juliet. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
The award-winning Bob's Steak and Chop House, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, is a nationally renowned steakhouse specializing in the finest corn-fed Midwestern prime beef. The menu formula is simple. Incredible meat, gigantic shrimp, fabulous salads, and decadent desserts. Classic steakhouse food prepared and presented in a manner that Bon Appetit calls the kind of fare you'll want to go back for again and again. Voted one of the top 50 restaurants in the country by Travel and Leisure magazine, and one of only 11 steakhouses in America that serves A5 Wagyu beef. Bob's Steak and Chop House is ready to host your private holiday parties and get-togethers. And if you need a stocking stuffer, there's no better gift than a Bob's Steak and Chop House gift card. To book your private holiday party, call 615-761-3707. Located downtown at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Bob's Steak and Chop House.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio.
I'm Ryan Johansson of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Ryan Ellis of the Nashville Predators.
Catch one of Music City's longest-running radio shows devoted solely to the Nashville Predators.
I'm Roman Yossi of the Nashville Predators.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie.
Every game day morning at 5, Captain Crazy Charlie Saunier and the Renegades of Puck, Nashville Sports Radio, and Redneck Nation, a match made in hockey.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
This is the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show, every weekday afternoon on Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Coming up this weekend, the divisional rounds of the NFL playoffs. Two games on Saturday, two games on Sunday. And if it's a playoffs, we know Tom Brady's going to be a part of it, just in a different uniform this weekend. Jim McBride, longtime Patriots beat writer with the Boston Globe, joins us now. Jim, first of all, Happy New Year to you and your family. And you know, how strange is it for you to see and be looking at a playoffs and see Tom Brady still out there, but it's not the New England Patriots?
Yeah, it's very strange. You know, normally I'd be spending this week, writing preview stories and being at practice and, you know, just being around the Patriots as general, because usually, you know, we plan to be late January, early February on the Patriots beat. So very strange to not be covering the Patriots at this time of year, but, there is a little familiarity when you turn on your TV and I see Tom in a still playing, but in a different uniform. So I have to say that game against Washington last week was kind of surreal to watch, to think that was the playoffs and, Tom's there and we're not.
If it's, say, the Saints, for example, we get the feeling that Drew Brees, you know, any given time, this could be his final game. If they don't advance, we may never see Drew Brees in an NFL uniform again. What's your gut feeling telling you about Tom Brady as far as when the end is near?
Yeah, I think he plays next year, too. I knew he signed a 2-year contract with the Buccaneers, and I fully expect that he'll be, he'll fulfill that contract. And, depending on how they do, I could see him walking away at the end of that contract if they win another Super Bowl. If they win a Super Bowl, I should say. If he's still feeling good, even if they don't, I would see him trying to prolong his career, because clearly he still is able to get the job done. I mean, he's still playing at a really high level. I know that he's probably not a top 5 quarterback in the NFL anymore, but he's pretty darn close. And, he's got the cerebral part of the game down, and, he's surrounded with such good weapons in Tampa Bay. And, I'm sure they'll make an effort to even keep, all of those guys as long as they can. And I think as long as Tom feels healthy, he's going to keep playing. So I'm not sure I know he's stated 45 in the past, And 43 now, I certainly wouldn't be surprised if he's playing at 45 or even 46, if he's protected as well as he's been protected over the second half of this season in Tampa Bay.
I threw this number out yesterday. When you take in consideration regular season games, postseason games, the only player, and he's got about a 5,000-yard edge over Drew Brees, but the only player to pass for over 90,000 combined yards in regular season and playoff games. And just think about that number. It is so, it's such a large number. We kind of take it for granted until you break it down on how many 20-yard passes that you would have to complete to get to that number.
Yeah, and you think about, you know, he's played 20 seasons, but he's played so many playoff games, it's almost like he's played three extra seasons, because he's just, you know, he's been there every year and usually making a deep run. So it's amazing, it really is, when you think about it, you know, what he's been able to do, a guy that was really an afterthought in the draft and really an afterthought when he got to New England at first, and, you know, the chances opened up for him. And talk about a guy that's made the most of them and still making the most of them. It's kind of incredible to see the number of players that he's played with that have now gone on to different careers, especially in the media, and time just keeps on ticking.
You know, we've discussed this before about the importance of legacy, especially when Tom Brady was still the quarterback with the Patriots and you had Bill Belichick and you had Robert Kraft, the owner. You know, Tom Brady has always been that individual would find whatever ways to motivate himself, to use that little, get that extra edge, those little extra intangibles. How much do you still think that even this year, and here's Tampa Bay in the playoffs, the Patriots didn't make the playoffs, how much do you think it still drives him?
Well, I think it drives him incredible. You know, he's always been a guy that's played with a chip on his shoulder, and he's played that way, you know, when he was a rookie, or second year in the league, and he played that way last year when I was around him. He still would find any edge to perceive slight or to kind of motivate him. You know, and I think a lot of people thought that maybe Bill was the guy that motivated him behind the scenes, but I think both of these guys are self-motivated men, and you know, it was the ultimate combination for 20 years, but I don't think that either one of them ever thought, you know, oh, I'd really love to prove that I could win without Tom, or I'd really love to prove I could win without Bill. I just think they appreciated the fact that they had each other for that long.
You know, I still think it's, you know, anything's possible in sports, but when you start, you know, we look at that edge that Tom Brady plays with. You know, Drew Brees, you know, kind of has the same thing. You know, he was always told he wasn't tall enough, and so they both play with a little bit of an edge like that, a little chip on their shoulders. But when they retire, I really think their numbers will be untouchable. And look, it's not that there's going to be, I mean, look at Patrick Mahomes, off to a great start. But then you start thinking about how many years that he has to be able to do this to be in that same conversation as far as the stats that we've seen with Tom Brady and Drew Brees, for example. And then you throw in the money factor and the fact that your body takes, with all those hits, going to take a toll as well on the body. I don't know if these numbers will be touched.
Yeah, I think that's one of the overlooked, you know, aspects of the Patriots dynasty of the last 20 years or so, is the fact that they were able to manage the salary cap and keep winning with guys that weren't commanding top salaries or didn't you know, might have been past their prime a little bit. But, you know, you look at a team like the Kansas City Chiefs that, you know, probably the favorites to win the Super Bowl again after winning last year. And, you know, pretty soon those bills come due to pay some of those other players other than Patrick Mahomes. You know, and they paid him a boatload of money. But they never really had to pay Tom a boatload of money because he never took, you know, being the most highly paid quarterback in the league wasn't always a big motivation for him. Now, you know, obviously his wife makes a ton of money too, so that helps. But, you know, to be able to negotiate that salary cap and get guys that are still playing at a high level but not, you know, commanding that high level salary is really a trick in this league. It's hard to do. Like, you have that window when a quarterback's on his rookie contract, if he can win while he's on a rookie contract, that really helps.
Did he ever ask for, like, any kind of percentage of ownership with the Patriots?
Not that I'm aware of, but, you know, he did have, you know, the TB12 sports therapy clinics that he's, you know, involved in, and he had a huge one of those down at Foxborough at Gillette Stadium, which I think is still there. So, you know, he made money outside of his Patriots salary. And certainly, you know, being tied to Foxborough Stadium or Gillette Stadium certainly helps.
when you look at the Patriots moving forward 2021 and beyond, I mean, from the fans' perspective, you know, how long is the wait? How long is the – because, you know, once you've enjoyed the kind of success the Patriots enjoyed, just like if you're a fan of the Yankees, and it's going to be the same way when Nick Saban leaves Alabama, you know, you're going to be looking for that same type of maintained success. How patient are the Patriots fans?
Not very. You know, and it, like you said, it comes from you know, success, and they want to keep having that success. But, you know, it takes a while to rebuild things in the NFL, and it's often cyclical. I mean, if you look at the Bills, there they are in the playoffs again now. I mean, it took them forever to win a playoff game, and, you know, they hadn't won the AFC East in 20 years, and, you know, we all remember when I was younger, the Bills were the dominant team in the AFC East, winning the AFC 4 years in a row and going to the Super Bowl. And
right.
It took them a long time to rebuild. I don't know if the Patriots fans are going to be that patient. You know, they want to win now, and this is going to be the most interesting offseason in a long time. I mean, I thought last year would be, but the coronavirus kind of, you know, as it affected everything in this country, it kind of affected the rebuild and the roster building. So this will be a real interesting year between free agency and the draft for the Patriots.
Jim, this happened right as we were getting you on the air. Wanted to get your thoughts on it. A team with a lot of money under the salary cap just hired Urban Meyer, a coach 30-plus years as far as college ranks with that experience as far as coaching college. No experience whatsoever as far as coaching in the NFL. How do you think this plays out for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, Coach Meyer's offenses, you know, where he's had success and obviously many stops and at Utah and Florida and Ohio State, he had that kind of that mobile quarterback and a quarterback that took a lot of punishment. And, you know, I think they're in line to draft Trevor Lawrence, and we'll see if Coach Meyer kind of adapts his offense a little bit to go more to the passing game than he is to the multi-use quarterback, because, you know, I don't think he's ever had a quarterback that's had real success at the NFL level. So I wonder how his offense that he ran so well in college translates to the NFL. But be very interesting to see. That's certainly a very, you know, appealing job to have with the cap space, with Trevor Lawrence coming in, and not a bad place to live either.
Absolutely. Hey, before we let you go, remind everybody again how they could keep up with your coverage with the Boston Globe.
Sure, you can read my stories at bostonglobe.com/sports or follow me on Twitter at Globe Jim McBride.
Hey, Jim, it's always fun having you on. Look forward to talking to you again soon, but until then, stay safe.
Sounds good, Johnny. You too. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. That's Jim McBride, the Patriots beat writer for the Boston Globe. Coming up, some final thoughts as we wrap things up. You're listening to Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, good evening. Traffic still heavy on 24 as you head back out towards Rutherford County. It's been active out here as far as wrecks, 5700 block OHB over in Hermitage, 7900 Highway 100 out on the west side. Still trying to mop up that crash at the intersection of Church and 17. Heavy traffic continues I-40 out through Mount Julia. Check out the Andre Chicken Sandwich, now available at Prince's Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
When it comes to great times with family and friends, Strike and Spare Family Entertainment keeps raising the bar. With 5 centers in Middle Tennessee, Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers offers bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. And don't forget, with TVs located throughout, you can always keep up with your favorite teams as well. Also, Hendersonville at Circus World and now Murfreesboro in the old Sears building in Stones River Mall provide 2 enhanced experiences to enjoy, including laser tag, roller skating, bumper cars, time freak, laser maze, and a virtual reality roller coaster. Looking for a place for a gathering? Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers are great for birthday and corporate parties, fundraising events, and all types of activities and reunions. Other locations to serve you include Hermitage, Donaldson Plaza, and the Tusculum area. For more information, you can visit them online at strikeandspare.com. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. And remember, there's never a bad time for a good time at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed, this truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Your exclusive national sports radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For this afternoon, we'll have clouds and maybe a shower, the high temperature 44. Cloudy tonight, rain shower early, rain or snow shower late, the low 32. Clouds and a stray sprinkle or flurry for Friday, high 42. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network and National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Take Johnny Ballpark Franks on the go by downloading the WNSR app. Search your app store for Nashville Sports Radio.
And welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you along with Zach Williams. Once again, about 20 minutes ago now, the Jacksonville Jaguars, we knew that that was the direction they were heading. And so Urban Meyer, new head coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars, a lot of money under the cap to spend, felt like 50 plus million. It could even be more than that. It could be even 70 million. I can't remember exactly the total. But so a lot of money to spend. Looks like Trevor Lawrence will be the guy as far as the draft is concerned in April. How quickly do you think Urban Meyer will enjoy success, or will he enjoy success with the Jaguars?
I think he will, but I think Jags fans are going to be a little upset at how long it takes. I don't think he's just going to walk in and put it all together day one. But, you know, maybe, and in the world of coaching, right, like 3 years, it seems like that's just as long as attention spans last for the NFL and college. So, I think maybe it might take 5 years, 4 years to figure it out and get the pieces in order. He's got a great foundation. You know, look at his running back, young running back under contract for a while, who was a top five back in the NFL last year. He's got a first-round pick that, you know, could bring in a quarterback that can really change things.
And almost $72 million under the cap space right now.
And we know that really their defense is what needs to get moved. I think if they can find a tight end, get a nice tight end in there, and then pick up some secondary pieces, because they have a good front. Their front's not terrible, but it's their secondary is very lacking. And maybe they make a couple big signings and a trade somewhere here or there. And Jacksonville can be back in it. They play teams close, too. You got to remember that.
Here are the teams with the most money right now under the salary cap. Cleveland at 8th with just over $24 million. Washington 7th, just under $28 million. Tampa Bay 6th, just over $28 million. Cincinnati 5th with $34 million. The Patriots 4th position, $54.5 million to spend. The Jets 3rd with just over $60 million to spend. And then I mentioned the Colts, $61 million plus, and Jacksonville, number one, just under $72 million under the salary cap. Plus, they'll get Trevor Lawrence.
You said the Colts were what number?
Number two.
Yeah,
number
so
two.
That's the scarier one.
The Colts are the scary one because as good as they are, and they've got $60-plus million to spend, you know, this is where if you don't take full advantage of this, there should be some people fired.
Oh, yeah.
Because the Colts should take advantage of that and run away with the AFC South for the next 3 years mm-hmm. with that kind of position that they're in. But, you know, time will tell. First and foremost, do they have the quarterback that they want for the future? Because we don't even know if Rivers is coming back. Hey, big thanks to our visitors, Ron Higgins with TigerRagMagazine.com. Also, John Glennon with Broadway Sports Media and Jim McBride with the Boston Globe. As always, we know you have choices each and every day. We appreciate you making our show and our station a daily destination. For Zach Williams, Johnny Ballpark Franks, have a great night and make it count.
WPDQ Franksboro. On air and online, Sports Radio.